Das Radio Regenbogen Star-Interview.
Oscar-Preisträger, Modemann und seit über 25 Jahren Frontmann der Band 30 Seconds to Mars, Jared Leto. Vor kurzem haben die ein neues Album rausgebracht und da ist auch Seasons drauf. Hi, ich bin Marlene Vogel und ich habe mit Jared über die Songs auf dem neuen Album gesprochen. Thema war außerdem sein aktuelles Filmprojekt, das Biopic zu Karl Lagerfeld und warum er früher vor der Polizei weggerannt ist. Alle Geschichten gibt's jetzt im kompletten Interview.
Hallo.
Hallo. Thanks for your time, Jared. Thinking of your
Absolute
music.
Absolute pleasure. I appreciate you having me today. Thank you so much.
Of course. Thinking of your music, the first memory that comes to mind takes me straight back to 2005, screaming A Beautiful Lie in the car next to my sister. So I can only imagine how cool it must be to make all these memories with your brother and produce this body of work over the years together with him. And you've written the next chapter to your story, namely, it's the end of the world, but it's a beautiful day.
Thank you so much. And that's a beautiful thing to hear, you know. And yes, I do feel the same as you did with your sibling. I'm there with my brother and we are screaming the songs. And I still feel that way when I get on stage every single night. I look over at my brother on the drums and I'm just like, this is incredible. I can't believe it. And, you know, Germany is probably one of the most amazing examples of what's possible to us, because we started playing and Germany in front of just, you know, 50 people and or less. And we never thought we would be 20 years later coming back to play these giant arenas. And it's just been absolutely beautiful. We're so grateful for the success that we've had in Germany, for the relationship with the German audiences. And, you know, we're coming to Hanover and Cologne and Hamburg and Berlin and Munich, and we hope to add even more cities.
Oh, so we'll stay tuned if there's even more coming up. When I heard the title of your new record, and I don't know if this is a bit far-fetched, but when I read this title, my first thought was like, is this the merging of It's the End of the World as We Know It by R.E.M. and Beautiful Day by U2? Were you inspired by bands like them for this album?
Oh, I'm sure. I've always been inspired by those bands. You know, I just saw two nights ago at the Sphere in Las Vegas. And God, hearing those songs, they're just an incredible group. And I really respect them so much. Those albums were really important to my brother and I. We learned a lot from them. We stole a lot from U2 in terms of our, you know, melody and atmosphere and, you know, making music of a certain scope, and they're just great. And REM, of course, yeah, just legends. So
cool. Now, listening to the record, my impression was that the sound of the songs seems a bit more light-footed. I don't know if you agree, or maybe even a bit more vulnerable than your previous releases. Was that an organic process?
I think so. And, you know, this was an album that was years in the making, and we wanted to do something really different that we hadn't done before. And this album is the result of that journey that we took. So World on Fire is our brand new single. And, you know, it's a song I think that feels like 30 Seconds to Mars still. It's got that big anthemic chorus, but there's also something new happening. So I'm excited for people to hear it. I'm excited for it to be on the radio. I'm excited to come back and play it on stage in May, which is getting closer and closer and closer. Incredibly, incredibly, you know, grateful to be coming back.
Are you still counting down the days when you got a tour coming up?
Absolutely. It's a beautiful thing. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. You think that it's never going to happen, that the opportunity to come and play shows all over the world. And when it does, you just, you know, you hope that you get a chance to do it again and again and again. It's absolutely incredible.
Yeah, I can't imagine, because I'm not an artist, but I can imagine that it must be mind-blowing if you got so many people standing in front of you, playing your music to you and singing your lyrics back to you.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know what city is closest to you, but I'd love to invite you to come to a show if you'd like to be our guest and to have a ticket to come to the show. Bring who you want, your sister, your friend, and
Thank you so much for the invitation. I wasn't
yeah.
trying to make you
If
invite me,
you would
but
like to come, if you'd like to come, you're welcome to be our guest.
thank you so much. You mentioned your current single, World on Fire, and I read that you and your brother have co-written the song with Ed Sheeran, Steve Mac, and ex-Snow Patrol member Johnny McDade. Was that a conscious decision of you to write with people who are more immersed in pop music?
I think it was a conscious decision to work with people that are doing things that are different than what we do. In there lies the opportunity to learn. So that was a conscious effort. Like, let's get into these situations that we haven't been before. And we've never collaborated with any other artists before, and it's a beautiful thing to do that. Not until this album. So I really enjoyed it, and I would certainly do it again in the future. It was a lot of fun.
I can imagine. I've also read that you work with Dan Reynolds from Imagine Dragons, right? And Dermot Kennedy, who's like a big singer-songwriter. Do you feel that you sometimes have this rewarding effect of working with other artists as well and make like an even bigger thing of a song with working with
You
someone
know,
else?
you hope so, but you never know. I mean, some songs connect, some songs don't. Some songs are lucky, some songs aren't. But I think process-wise, it's important to keep learning. It's important to keep making mistakes, to learn from those mistakes, to expose yourself to new challenges. And that's what we did on this album.
Yeah, I think you can hear so also listening to it. And listening to World on Fire, I heard the lyrics, come away, you're overthinking it. You gotta stop overcomplicating the little things. Do you find yourself stuck in your mind too much sometimes?
Well, I love that lyric, and it's certainly true for me. I definitely can overcomplicate the little things. I mean, it's the story of my life. I try to remind myself that, you know, that simple is best, and not to overcomplicate things. So, I mean, I like that about the song. It's like, it's called World on Fire, but it's got a pretty positive message. You know, it's a very uplifting song with this dark lyric. So I like that contradiction.
Yeah, speaking of like the positive vibe that you still get from the song and the album title being It's the End of the World, but it's a beautiful day. Like, where do you find beauty while the world's this messy place?
I find it in the work that we do with 30 Seconds to Mars. I find it in the concerts that we play, whether it's in Hanover, Cologne, Hamburg, Berlin, or Munich. I'll be standing on stage and I'll find beauty in those moments. And I'll find gratitude. I'll find an opportunity to share that gratitude with my brother and with the audience, with all the people that have supported us. And that's incredible. That's the most important thing, I think.
I hear you. Speaking of World on Fire, I realize that you use the imagery of fire in multiple songs. Like there's We Set All Our Memories on Fire in Lost These Days and Set the World on Fire from the Ashes We Will Rise in Avalanche. Is that something that fascinates you, just the imagery of fire?
Yeah, it really does. And it's interesting you pointed that up because that happens on albums. I mean, on This Is War, I used, you know, the word war and fight about 1,000 times. You know, conflict was, you know, this overarching theme for that album. And songs like Kings and Queens and Closer to the Edge and This Is War. And on this album, it was born into the early days of COVID. There's kind of this sense of this apocalyptic sense, and then also a sense of optimism as we got back to the real world and living again.
Now you just mentioned overarching theme. Is there an overarching theme for you to this album also?
Yeah, I think the idea that although the world may seem full of conflict or chaos, there's still hope and beauty to be found. And I believe that.
Yeah, I believe so too. You just got to keep looking, right?
I think so. And that's why I put it, there's just a simple photograph of the sky for the album cover, because all you got to do sometimes is just look up, you know, and it's right there in front of us. Hope, optimism, beauty.
Yeah. And I know you got the lyric, like, if you change the way you look at life, the life you look at changes. And I think there's so much truth to that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, you get these things working too with other people. You get a chance to hear their thoughts, their lyrics, their ideas, their, you know, turn of a phrase. And, you know, and it can just really inspire you to work harder and push yourself harder too.
Yeah. So Seasons, I was wondering, the song made me think, looking back on your own life, do you have a favorite season or period of time that you love to recall the most?
I mean, you know, summer in Europe is hard to beat. Summer in the Mediterranean, that's pretty, but I like them all. I mean, there's something about each season I quite love. I'm a sucker for them all.
Yeah, there's beauty in everything again, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
7 to 1 starts out with, I want to change my name, disappear. Have you ever experienced moments when you wanted to be someone who's not recognized everywhere they go?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. I've had that thought, that feeling many times before. Yeah, it's anonymity is a really beautiful gift. And, you know, the ability to observe and not to be observed is, it's nice, you know, to have that choice. But I'm not burdened by it consistently. But yeah, it's certainly a thought that I've had.
No, I can imagine.
Yeah.
You already mentioned the tour dates, and you're playing a few shows in Germany. And I know you like to go to extremes during your live shows, at least. That's the video footage that I saw of you, like, climbing high. And what do you have in store for your fans this time around?
Lots of surprises. So, you know, our shows are really about celebration. They're about energy. They're about, you know, when I'm on stage, I'm really just doing whatever I can to make sure every single person at that concert has a moment of joy, of freedom, anything I can do to help that along. So you can forget about some of your troubles or your stresses and just come to a place to celebrate life. That's really important to me. It may be a bit sincere to say that, but that's how I feel. It's how my brother feels. And when we get on tour in May and Germany, it's important to us that when people come to our concerts, that they walk away with a feeling like, wow, this was a night I'll never forget. That's what we work towards.
Just this mind-blowing event.
Yeah, I
hope so. Yeah. I got one movie-related question, Jared. Yep. I read that you're working on the Karl Lagerfeld biopic, and I was wondering, like, what's the most defining thing that you learned from him?
Consistency, I think, with his work. You know, he was a big personality, but ultimately his work was consistently amazing. And, you know, he was a very, very talented designer. Everything else is on top of that. But, you know, he created this persona that was, you know, almost like a creative work of his, this character that he played. So it's an interesting one, and we'll see what happens. It's still pretty far away. We're in the beginning.
We'll see what happens and watch the movie when it's out. To wrap things up, I would like to do a quick fire round of questions.
Great.
So if you were to choose between these three, Coachella, Ultra Europe in Croatia, which is like this huge EDM festival, and Lovers and Friends, Usher's festival in Las Vegas, which one would you pick and why?
Well, I think I'd have to say Coachella because I've been so many times before and I have so many good memories from that festival. It's changed a lot over the years. When I went to the very first Coachella, and it was, I think, Pearl Jam and Rage Against the Machine and Tool, I believe. I'm not sure if those, I mixed some of those up from the first and second year, but they did the first year and then I think they took a year off, then they came back and did it again. But it was very much a rock festival in the beginning, and I loved it. I love going out to the desert with friends. It's always fun.
That's crazy that you went to the first one. So much must have
Yeah.
changed to like looking
Oh my
back.
God. Yeah, absolutely crazy.
What's the craziest thing you've ever experienced at a festival?
Oh my God. We've had incredible moments at festivals. Probably Rock and Ring. When we played there the first time at like noon, 12 p.m. And then we played again at like 5, and then we played again at like 9, and then we headlined. So that's incredible to do. And just coming to Germany and really working hard to make a connection with audiences in Germany. It took many years, but we're very, very proud of that.
Did you ever have like
And we're
this very crazy thing happen to you when you were visiting a festival yourself?
No, but I had one time when we showed up at the festival and there was a fucking tornado or something. And yeah, it'll happen in a matter of moments. Like tents got ripped apart. It was really bad. It was a scary thing. And I remember that happened. We were just about to go on stage
Oh,
and they
wow.
had to shut the whole festival down. So we've had a few scary incidences like that where stages almost collapsed and things like that. Yeah, we've had some wild ones.
That sounds very scary indeed. So,
Yeah.
if you have some time off, do you prefer to chill on a yacht or be at home in your sweatpants?
I think be at home in the sweatpants, maybe go rock climbing because I travel so much. When I have time off, I like to be home.
Do you have any fears without any reasons or any phobias that you can't really explain where they're coming from?
Oh yeah, I do. I was thinking about one the other day that because I get asked this question sometimes, and I was like, oh, that's a real fear of mine. I'm very claustrophobic, so being buried alive would be one of my great fears. Sharks. I also have a pretty significant fear of sharks, and I'm in the water a lot, so. Yeah, those two are good ones.
Did you commit a sin in the past year that you'd be willing to confess?
You know, I'm a pretty straight and narrow, boring guy as in my old age. I'm pretty like a choir boy, as they say. So I think my sin would be like maybe eating a little too much dessert or something like that. That would be my naughty thing these days.
I'm sure
Pretty, pretty amateur.
you'll be forgiven for that one.
But it's funny, when I was a kid, I would steal a candy bar from a store. We didn't have a lot of money for stuff, and I would never ask, my mother who worked so hard for something that was indulgent or whatever. And sometimes I would just, I would take food from the grocery store because I was. Because we needed food, but that I didn't recognize that that was, I didn't look at how that was impactful to the world. I couldn't steal a penny off the floor anymore. As an adult, I couldn't steal a piece of trash. It's not in me. But as a kid, as a young kid, I was a little naughty kid for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, in the end, it's about surviving also, right? If you're stealing
Yeah,
food.
I remember I used to take like I would put a food down my trousers and my shirt. I'd walk out of the store, my brother would be shoving a steak down my shirt in here. I'm like, what? Not a steak, but
Were you ever caught?
almost one time, but I run really fast. They caught my friend. And because he wasn't as fast as me, but I ran too fast, they couldn't catch me.
There you go. Good for
And
you.
there really is no greater feeling than to run from the police and get away.
I haven't tried that one, but maybe.
It,
You
I
never
mean,
know.
it's a bad thing to say, but if it's a harmless thing, I don't know what it would be, but just to have the police run after you and get away is a beautiful, as a kid, it's a beautiful feeling because you're defying authority, you know, and you're, it's a sense of like real adrenaline and freedom. And it's a bizarre thing, but for us, it was really, that was an amazing thing. And sometimes it's silly. The cops run after you because you're, you know, you're smoking cigarettes behind the school. I don't know what it would be, but, you know, but those are the days of our youth.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that story. And thank you so much for taking the time, Jared. I really enjoyed
talking
to you.
Yeah, my pleasure. And I hope to see you very soon, okay?
See you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.